today on Real Radio.
Somebody can punch your button and you'll begin to cower. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah, okay. Listen, the fear of man is a snare, the Bible says. It'll grip your heart. Not me. Oh, yeah, you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called An Anchor for the Soul, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Many years have gone by since the Apostle Paul first began his missionary journeys, but now Paul is back in Caesarea, ready to go to Rome for trial and for the end of his mission. In the message called Compromise, Man's Easy Fix, from Acts chapter 24, verses 22 through 27, we saw how compromise only leads to indecisiveness, hesitation, lack of direction, and lack of vision. And when we take the easy way out, we have nothing tangible to live for. We'll even wait for a more convenient time to make a decision for Christ. But today is the day for salvation, and tomorrow may be too late. Now in Acts chapter 25, it seems like Paul is in the midst of a turbulent sea on board the vessel of hardship. But we'll see how Paul's confidence is in the anchor of his soul. Today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that when Paul appealed his case to Caesar in Rome, it was ordained by God. Paul made a stand for the truth, and whether it looked good or bad, God was in it. In fact, God is in all that we experience in life, and He gives us a future founded in hope that our lives are anchored in His Son, Jesus Christ, safe and secure in our salvation. And now, continuing his lesson called An Anchor for the Soul, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
But listen, you know what we need right now? We need life assurance. You have life assurance, you have everything going for you. You know you're right into the hand of the Lord right there. He's got you. Your life is assured in Christ. Do you see yourself like that? We need to see ourselves like this. When God goes along the way with us, He's walking right with us. Tomorrow when you get in that car or when you get up to do those chores or those tasks, God's right with you all along the way. May God allow us to feel His presence. Life insurance is great. It settles our destiny forever. But life assurance is regarding our present, our right now, where we live. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, the Bible says, "For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Paul's motive was beautiful. He was wrapped up in Christ. Do we do that, though? Do we glorify Him in what we think, what we do, the things that we say, the things that drive our passions? Paul had a warranty on his life. His life was guaranteed in Christ. Listen, King David knew something about this. In Psalm 37, the greatest psalm in the Bible, Psalm 37, verse 25, David says, "I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken." Gosh, you guys were Christians. 99% of us, I would imagine. "You will not be forsaken." Jack, I feel alone. So does Paul. He's not forsaken. There's nobody around. I don't recognize anybody. I'm lost in the city. Nobody can understand me. God knows where I'm at. It's like that little boy, you know, he sees a commercial and some person says, "I found God." And the little boy reaches to his mother and said, "I didn't know God was lost." Well, he wasn't lost. God finds us, always. That's a beautiful thing to consider. And Paul, man, all the hardships coming down on his neck. And Paul's going, "The Lord's my anchor, man." But David says, "I was young and now I'm old." You know, as we get older, there's a great thing that's going on in our lives. That is, we can see God's faithfulness. You look back over the years. Again, last night in our prayer meeting, we were sitting in our circle with the team praying, and my wife started this thing. She started reminiscing in her prayer. "Lord, I remember when we were a Monday night home fellowship that we gathered for a year and prayed on Wednesday nights, and I had forgotten. Seeking God's will about what He wanted to do." And then that got my juices flowing. And I remember the day that we moved to Chino Hills from Costa Mesa, we got everything settled, and the four of us, we went up to the big oak tree that I think is at the base of Bayberry right now. They left that beautiful oak tree. In fact, I think it's the symbol of the city now. It's on the police cars and the trucks, that big oak. And we walked up there. There was nothing there. Many, actually, quite a few of you live up there. Your home wasn't even there yet. And in 1986, and we walked up there, and we didn't even know what we were doing, but the four of us held out our hands, and we said, "Lord, if it be your will, deliver into our hands, into your hands, Chino Hills for your glory." We didn't even know what we were talking about. And God is doing that. And as you get older, you look back and you go, "Man, I was young and now I'm old." And I tell you what, God does not forsake his people. He'll be with you all the way. Isn't it sad, though, that youth is wasted on young people? Just thinking about that. I need now more energy than I've ever needed to do the stuff that I need to do. And when you're a teen, you don't need to do anything but take out the trash, mow the lawn, wax the floor, change the transmission fluid, you know, those things, right? And they waste it on stuff, and now I need that energy. And I want to go as much as I can until I get to the point where I can't go anymore. David talks about the faithfulness of the Lord. Time reveals his faithfulness, and Paul knew this. In Psalm 139, verse 7, a great, great statement. The psalmist says, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence?" He says in verse 8, "Behold, thou art there." You can backslide tomorrow, people. You can get on your thing, and first of all, nobody wakes up tomorrow and says, "I'm going to backslide. It's a nice day. It's raining, snowing, 3,000 feet." They're telling us tomorrow, right? "Going to backslide. It's a great day to backslide. I'm going to burn my Bible." You don't do that. You slowly get away from God. That's how you backslide. You just stop doing what you know you ought to be doing. You get a little cool. You get a little cold. Then you get a little dead. And then you wind up slipping away. And you know when you backslide and you go to that place or do that thing, you know who's with you all along the way? The Holy Spirit. And those of you who, you know what I'm talking about, you're trying to drag him into that singles bar, or you're trying to go to that R X-rated movie thing, and you're going like this, and the Holy Spirit's pulling you. You're uncomfortable, he's pulling. "Come on, will you? No, I don't want to go in there." And then you bring the Holy Spirit in there. He's got his hand, he's covering his eyes. And he's got to plug his ears. You know that's true, because the whole time you're sitting there in that sin, you're going, "I am not having fun. This is not working." That's one of the marks of a true believer. You can't even sin good anymore. You're miserable until you come back to Christ. Somebody's asked, "Well, how do you know if the guy was saved or not?" Well, you know what? Was he miserable when he was backslidden? Oh, listen, the Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season, yes. But that season quickly changes. And then you begin to say, "Man, I'm miserable." The Lord hangs on to us and holds us. Third and final point, verses 9 through 12. How did Paul maintain this anchor of his soul? It was the message that he proclaimed. The message that he proclaimed in verses 9 through 12 was responsible and, in fact, was the anchor of his soul. It says, "But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor," and this is a place where him and Felix were exactly the same. They're so different, except in this area, they wanted to do the Jews a favor. The fear of men, Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe." Every man, woman, I don't care who you are today, I don't care how strong of a facade you can put up front, I don't care how macho you think you are, how much you can bench press, you are afraid of men. "Well, I beg to differ with you, Jack, and I'll take you out back and show you." That's not what I'm talking about. There's somebody in life that you will bow to. "Not me, buddy." "Oh, yeah? Your boss. corporate president, FBI, CIA, WIFE. Somebody. I can say that. She's coming second service. Somebody can punch your button and you'll begin to cower. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah, okay. Listen, the fear of man is a snare, the Bible says. It'll grip your heart. Not me. Oh, yeah, you. It's true. Wanting to do the Jews a favor, the fear of man. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 28, you better be afraid. You better watch out. He says, when all men speak well of you, you better watch out. That means you're a man pleaser. Oh, make everybody happy. Now listen, I got to tell you, honestly, and I got to hurry while I do it. Every one of us outside of Jesus Christ will be prone to please men. You know why? None of us want to be rejected. Listen, I don't know how you guys are, but at work, there's nothing I enjoyed more than having my superior come up and said, on your back, that was an awesome job. I didn't even care if I got a raise for the next 5 years after that. Really? I was blessed by him saying, that was a great job. It's like, oh man, that's why it's going to be. Can you imagine when Jesus says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's like, yes, yes, yes. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be something. But every one of us outside of Christ, we're looking for approval of men. It's our nature. But here's the wonderful thing about a Christian. Once you understand where you are in Jesus Christ, it's like, Lord, I've got your approval. And I don't care what any man says about me. I know where I stand with you. And that's where Paul's at. People could come and attack and do whatever and make a conspiracy and plot against him. And Paul says, Lord, I'm yours, man. He believed that so much that he went on later to say, for to me to live is Christ, but to die, to die, that's gain. Going to heaven. That's radical. But it's our nature to want acceptance of men. Will men accept us? Sometimes. Will they reject us? Sometimes. George Whitefield, when he preached a message candidating for a church, George Whitefield preached and the church voted and he got a slip of paper and it said, rejected. And he sent a letter to his dad across the seas and he said, Dad, I was rejected. And his dad sent a letter back. Back then, it took months to get that ship across the ocean with a letter. His dad wrote a letter, yes, rejected on earth, but accepted in heaven. And that changed his whole attitude about ministry. And he went in with boldness. And of course, George Whitefield went down in history. But it's human nature to have this kind of a thing. And that's why Christ comes in and sets us free and gives us strength of the soul. In Ephesians 1:6 says, it's all of his grace by which he has made us accepted in the beloved, that is Jesus Christ. Isn't that great news? And here's a final thought. I love this. Verse 10 says, then Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat. That means I'm standing before you, Festus. You are a representative of Caesar, which in, so to speak, I'm standing before Caesar's authority, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews, I have done no wrong, as you very well know. And Festus probably went, yeah, you're right. Verse 11, for if I'm an offender, he says, or have committed anything worthy of death, I don't object to dying. Kill me then. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. Anchor. I appeal to Caesar, Festus says. If you appeal to Caesar, then to Caesar you shall go. And Paul went, yahoo. Fulfilling the plan. Listen carefully and we'll wrap this up. It is absolutely awesome as we think about this that God has foreordained in Paul's life the events that are happening so much. People grab this, please. If you have missed the whole thing today, will you get this one? That the things that have happened, that are happening at this moment, the things that are going to happen outside of this place every moment after this, is ordained of God in your life if you're a believer. It doesn't matter if it looks good or if it looks bad. If it's a temptation or a trial, God knows. To the very point that Paul is standing in front of a ruler representative of Caesar, and he's a Roman citizen born some 68 years earlier in a city that gave him citizenship. You don't think God was in that? God was in his birth at that place for this moment in time so that Paul could stand there for the history of the world, eventually the gospel coming to you, simply because Paul said, I appeal to Caesar. It's incredible. I've got a flat tire. God's in it. I lost my job. He's in it. Don't remove yourself from Paul. God's in it. To Caesar you'll go. Awesome. God has been in everything that you've been experiencing. And if the clouds seem dark because of recent things, God is more in those things to bring you a hope. Jot it down. Put it on your right hand or your forehead. Jeremiah 29:11. Probably the most quoted verse in this church because I need it so bad. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. It's awesome. Can you say that this morning? You can close your Bible. I want to leave you with this. John is in heaven, transported there in the Spirit in the book of Revelation. John has seen all these things, and he's seen things come into the future. And John says this. He goes, I saw a multitude that nobody could count. And that multitude, when they were speaking something and their voices sound like rushing water, John listens more carefully and he hears these words, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. In your sickness, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. In your poverty, in your pain, in your loneliness, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And can you say that this morning? In your life, the Lord God, hallelujah, the Lord omnipotent reigns, the Lord all-powerful. I just want to get under the spout where all the glory's coming out. Just so I can just again be refreshed and knowing that my soul is anchored on Him. Let's pray. Lord, there are times throughout church history, and even before that time, Lord God, throughout the Old Testament, where the psalmist would pen the words of deliverance and of safety and of security and of salvation in Christ. And Lord, we stand here today on this cold and wintry day, and Father, we're going to go out into a world that is cold and wintry of life. It is dead. It is hurting and has no hope. It has no foundation. It is crumbling beneath the feet of men, and they panic and they fear. And God, they have no idea that the icy bridge that they're on is suspended over an eternal pit. And Lord, it is melting so quick. But Father, you've given us a hope in Christ Jesus. And we can say this morning that the Lord God omnipotent reigns in our lives. And we thank you for the anchor of our soul, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That you told us in advance that we would have tribulations and trials. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Thank you, God, for telling us these things in advance and going on ahead of us in advance to tell us about the way. That none of us today need to be caught off guard or leave this building being hopeless. While we're praying right now and Christians are enjoying the reality of this fact, maybe you're not a believer this morning. You've never publicly confessed Christ as your Lord. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. But before you do that, if you'll do that, I'm going to ask you to simply put your hand up if you are saying, Jesus, I have sinned and I'm receiving you as my Savior today. I want that hope of heaven. I want to have an anchor to my soul. I'm like a reed just blowing in the wind. And I want to have that faith. God, give me that faith and that strength. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up. But then when we're all done and people are leaving, I'm going to ask you to go to the prayer room. We'll give you a Bible and get you going on your walk. But as I look over this body, you're going to publicly confess Christ by raising your hand. If that's you this morning, put your hand up wherever we're at right here. God bless you. You're saying, Jesus, I want you to come into my life and cleanse me from my sins. It's a free gift. You may have done work before. You may have played in the church band or whatever. It means nothing. You have to come to him by faith, trusting that he'll forgive you. Anybody else would like to receive Jesus this morning? Have your life totally changed by him from the inside out? Anyone else in this last moment? Everybody Jesus called, he called in a public setting like this right now. If you put your hand up, you can put it down. God bless you. Father, as this hand has gone up, Lord, it's awesome to realize that the heart was directed the will. And the will, taking control, saying, yes, I want Christ in my life, commands the hand to go up and to be publicly displayed. And Father, we thank you for the miracle of salvation. As this brother begins his walk with you, there's so many questions, there's so many things to consider and to ponder. And Lord, I pray that you'd meet all of his questions. You will. And I thank you, God, that for all of us, we can say some of those questions are taken forever to answer, and they're wonderful. But Lord, bless him and lead him. Father, cause him to have a hunger for the word like he's never known anything in life before, to give peace and stability in the home, to bring back, Lord, that which the world has consumed. And like Naaman, the Syrian general, who was stricken with leprosy, and then at the command of your prophet, his skin was made as fresh as a baby's. Lord, may my brother's heart, soul, and mind be refreshed as a brand new babe. For today, your Bible declares that he's pure, more pure than the driven snow. That though our sins be as scarlet, he'll make them as white as wool. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the rejoicing in heaven right now at this hour. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called An Anchor for the Soul. Thanks for listening, and be encouraged. With every attack mounted against Paul, it resulted in a promotion to a higher court, and his purpose for ministry was fulfilled. An Anchor for the Soul is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And if you've made a decision to follow Christ, or you've got questions about what salvation means, we encourage you to visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Once you're at the homepage, look for the tab called Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. Once you're there, you'll find guidance and a more clear understanding of the decision you made to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And please, let us know about your decision to follow Jesus by emailing us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. We're here to help you grow spiritually, and the love that Jesus is offering to you is free, no matter who or where you are or what you might have done. Once again, our website is reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.